Welcome to Behind the Brand, stories and strategies for building your creative business. This is brought to you by the Pine Gate Road Studio. You're listening to episode 43. Welcome to Behind the Brand, stories and strategies for building your creative business. Here we take a deep dive into the brands of heart-centered businesses and entrepreneurs and unveil behind the scenes into how they're building their brands, as well as tips and tricks to how you can build your own dream business. I'm your host, Kelsey Kerslake, and I'm the founder of Pine Gate Road, a branding studio for businesses and entrepreneurs ready to get their brands completely figured out. From finding your core values, making that beautiful brand identity that speaks to your ideal audience, to figuring out how to style and strategize your social media platforms and launch your new website, we're here to guide you each step along the way to build your dream business. Head to pinegateroad.com to get in touch today about working together. Hey, you guys, welcome to the show. I'm so pumped to have you here today, as always. Today, we have a special show with Autumn Witt Boyd. She is a trademark attorney, and she's here to share all about the common mistakes that you might be making while you're getting your business up and running, and how you can kind of mitigate these problems now so that they don't end up being big issues for your business down the line. I know if you are anything like me, legal things are just not something you usually want to talk about. So I'm really excited to have Autumn here on the show today. She specifically works with creative entrepreneurs, so she makes everything super simple for us to understand when lawyering is not our cup of tea. I use a lot of terms during this episode that are 100% not correct, so I'm sorry in advance, Autumn, and anybody else who actually knows things about the law. It's not really correct, but I'm so glad I have somebody like Autumn in my life to help work through these things. This week's Branding Bite is brought to you by Build a Booming Brand. Head to pinegateroad.com/shop to purchase website templates, typefaces, and all we have to offer to help you build your brand as a creative business owner so you can sell to your dream customers with confidence. So today I want to talk to you about getting your contracts and your invoices branded. While this show is all about the legalities of things like contracts and just making sure that you're getting everything set up right as a creative entrepreneur, I definitely think that there's some ways in which you can go about branding these things that might not seem fun, but you can make them really fun and make them great first impressions for people working with your business. So what I do for my contracts is I actually design them in Illustrator, and then I use the same template each time and kind of customize them each for each of my clients. And I don't do too many of these because I usually work on longer term projects with individuals, and I'm not creating these like on a daily basis. So if you're having to do contracts really regularly, I wouldn't go this route. But if you are having just one-on-one clients once in a while, and it is something that you can do, I would really recommend hiring a designer or downloading something on Creative Market just to make that aspect of your business really branded to what you're doing. Also, I use FreshBooks for my accounting, and anything that I'm invoicing, they automatically send it with my logo on it. So even though that is automated, I love being able to use FreshBooks and have my invoices with my logo, and it just reinforces that brand throughout every experience. So anything that you can use, any system that has some of those features, I would really recommend making sure that you can use your colors, you can use your typefaces, you can use your logo in any way possible. It just helps bring that consistent vision to your brand, and it enforces that you are a leader in your industry when you go do anything with anybody outside of your brand. Again, this week's Branding Bite has been brought to you by Build a Booming Brand. Head to pinegateroad.com/shop to purchase website templates, typefaces, and all we have to offer to help you build your brand as a creative business owner so you can sell to your dream customers. Hi, Autumn. How are you doing?
Hi, Kelsey. I'm great. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you so much for coming on. You are the first lawyer guest that we have, so I'm excited because I know just how awesome you are at working with creatives when it comes to their law things.
Right. Yeah, I try and break it down and make it very approachable and not scary.
Awesome. Well, okay. So first of all, I would love for you to just to start off telling the audience who you are and how you started your brand and maybe the big why that you've been working towards in your business and kind of how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, thanks. So I've been a lawyer for 13, almost 14 years now, which is crazy to think about. And I had a very traditional path before starting my own law practice. I worked for a judge out of law school, and I worked for a couple different law firms, bounced around a bit. My expertise and my background is in intellectual property. So I love copyright and trademark law. That's my favorite thing to do. And like so many people, I had children and just the stress and time away from the family. I was in a job, my last job, where I was traveling a lot, and I have twin boys. So it was just a lot of, it was just crazy on our family. And so I really like what I do. Like I took a moment and evaluated, you know, what's next for me? I can't keep doing this. I thought about leaving law altogether, but I really like it. I love working with clients. So I kind of evaluated everything, tried to find what are my favorite parts of this work and how can I really maximize those and take out the parts that I didn't like so much. So, long story short, I kind of looked around to see if there was another job that I might take, and I didn't find one that really checked all the boxes. So I decided to start my own, like so many people. And that was about a little more than 2 years ago. I started a solo law practice that is now growing. I just am starting to work with one other lawyer, and I have a small support team. So yeah, so now I can say I'm growing a small law firm. And I really now use my background in intellectual property, and I also do business consulting and advising for creative businesses. I love working with businesses like yours, Kelsey, and other kind of creative types, but who really treat their creative work as a business. So,
Absolutely.
not necessarily just an artist painting in their studio, but you know, someone who is building a real business.
I know. Yep, you're in the trenches now.
Exactly. You accidentally started a business.
I accidentally started a blog that turned into this business. So here I am.
So, my why, or kind of recently, I've kind of come to realize that I'm super passionate about helping women who maybe like you have started an accidental business actually get it legit and form something sustainable that is really going to be a long-lasting business that can support them and their family and help them accomplish their big goals and make a big impact in the world. So part of that is taking your legal needs seriously and setting things up the right way on the front end. And so that's just what I'm working on these days, is connecting and helping women at different points in their business get that strong legal foundation in place so that they can achieve those big goals.
So what does that, like, if you could give an example, like what might that look like for you know, like I'm not a one-woman shop. I have my contractors and my people, but I also am a one-woman shop at the same time. Like, how would you kind of go about setting up those basic structures for a business like mine or somebody who is just starting out in their creative journey?
So what I usually do when I start, I actually have a checklist, and it's funny, I didn't even realize, but I was talking about the same things with all of my clients. So I finally made myself a checklist, and then now I've started sharing it with other people. Because I now have three kids. I can't remember anything. So if it's not written down, it might as well be imaginary. But I literally go through that checklist with people, and it's things like, are you using the right kinds of contracts in your business, whether with contractors, with clients, with vendors? We talk about, do you need an LLC or maybe you don't? Not everybody does. We look at some of the things with your banking. I mean, some of it is not necessarily legal, but it's kind of those foundational things for your business, you know, getting an employer identification number from the IRS, making sure you've got your business licenses and that you're paying the right taxes. You know, all of those things I consider to be foundational. And you would be amazed, and this is not a criticism because most of my clients didn't go to law school, you know, they don't know, or business school. Like, nobody teaches you these things. But you know, you'll find people who are maybe in year three or four who have a team and are doing a lot of revenue who have missed some of those really foundational steps.
I know this is something I don't love to admit to a lot of people, but here I'm gonna admit this. I literally just went from a sole proprietor to an LLC, because my husband made me when we got married.
There's
And
no
I've been
shame in
running
it.
my business for like 5 years as a sole proprietor. And I always felt so embarrassed if my clients ever needed to write a check. And I was like, please write it out to Kelsey Cronkite, not Pinegate Road.
Oh, how
And
funny.
yeah, so that I'm, I
Well, I'll tell you a
lost.
secret, Kelsey.
Sure.
I'm still a sole proprietor.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
and I probably will be until I have a real employee. So it's not a black and white answer for everybody. Not so, every business needs it. So
why have you chosen that? I'd love to hear maybe like the difference between that and why you would choose that.
Yeah. So for me, and professionals like lawyers and accountants and doctors are in a little bit of a different scenario, because if I get sued for something I do wrong at work, I'm going to get sued personally. So the liability protection that an LLC provides doesn't really apply to your professional liability.
Oh, okay.
So you as a graphic designer can put that LLC or corporation as kind of a wall around your business that will protect your personal finances from anything that goes wrong in your business. But I can't really do that. So for me, at least while it's just me and all of my team are contractors, it makes sense right now for me to be a sole proprietor. When I do hire an employee and I start to have employee liability, like somebody could sue me for discrimination or for doing something wrong that way, I would probably want an LLC or a corporation, because you can protect against those kinds of things. Awesome. And I don't want to get into the weeds too much, but all that to say, like, it's not the same answer for everybody. You definitely need to look at the pros and cons.
Cool. I'm just like gonna ask,
so don't feel badly.
So this is when you are like thinking about expanding your team, what are some things that you should think about regarding lawness? I'm using all the wrong terms. I'm so sorry.
You are fine. The big thing is trying to figure out and doing it the right way, whether the people on your team should be classified as contractors or employees.
Mm-hmm.
And we could talk about that for hours.
Okay. So that's not something we should go into right now.
It's not something to dive too deep into. I have some resources, and on my own podcast, the Legal Roadmap Podcast, episode 12, if anybody wants to look that up, I talked with an HR expert and we talked about that a lot. Perfect. So if you're interested in more about that, definitely go check that out. And she created like a downloadable worksheet where you can see which column people should fall into. But there can be serious fines and penalties that you could have if you're classifying your workers the wrong way.
Okay.
So just it's something to take a hard look at. And the big thing that, I mean, in a short, without going too much into it, the big thing to think about is, how much control do you have over the worker? Are you telling them they have to come to your office at 8 a.m. and leave at 5 p.m. and they have to wear this outfit and they have to follow the tasks that you set? And or are they more like they're running their own business and you're one of their clients? So they're setting their work hours.
I was just having a conversation today with, Erin, and she's my business coach. And I was like, I run this business and I want to grow it to like X amount of dollars. And I never want to have an employee, because I never want to tell anybody like what they actually have to do.
And you can definitely run your business that way. You just want to make sure you're following all the rules and doing it the right way.
Yes. I need some help. but I think I'm doing pretty well right this second just sending out little contractors and my 1099 form.
Yeah, you get a W-9 from them.
Yes, exactly. But tax season is always a flurry for me. Oh my goodness. Okay. So I would also love to hear, while we're kind of on the subject of like your business and growing that, if you built any values into your business, or what kinds of things you were thinking about as you went about growing your business and just like planning it out, like how you would run it in your days and things like that.
Yeah. I went through the Desire Map, the Danielle Laporte book.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Desired feelings.
Yes. So when I was trying to figure out what is my next step, I went through that, and I wish I don't have them written down right in front of me, but I remember a couple of the ones. Joy was one of my core desired feelings, and excitement, like enthusiasm. And I wanted to be challenged. So some of those kinds of things have really guided me in the kinds of clients I work with and the way that I've set up my business. And I think some of it was a reaction against my last job, where I wasn't necessarily feeling all of those things.
Yeah.
So flexibility has been a big one for me. Like, I could have made a lot more money at a different job, but I would have lost the flexibility. So having a young family and just kind of being where I am in life, that was something that I really prioritize and that I'm not willing to compromise.
Yes. I love hearing.
I'm building that in for my team as well. You know, both my contractors, one is a mom, one is not, but that is something they both really value. And so I try and maintain that you know, we have these tasks we need to get done, but you are your own little boss and yes. you can decide yeah, exactly. how to get it done. And, you know, unless something is really super time sensitive, I try not to dictate when they have to work or how they have to do those things. So that is a big one for me.
Awesome. I love hearing that. And has there been a time where you kind of had to readjust because you maybe thought that something was working towards your values and then you're like, wait a minute, that wasn't working out. And then you had to like go in a different track.
Yeah. So just my client base has really been evolving lately. And we've talked about some of this offline.
Yeah.
But I love working with creatives and I've been working with a lot of really new businesses up to this point. But it's been a lot of really small projects for a lot of clients. And so that has led my workload to just be really heavy and for me to be working more hours than I really want to be. So I'm kind of evolving and trying to set some systems in place and have started offering just some different packages that are targeted towards and appeal towards a client who's a little bit further along in her business journey. That's really my zone of expertise. Like I think not anyone, but a lot of lawyers can do some of the initial startup work that a new business needs. But, I'm really helpful when maybe somebody's in year two or year three and is really ready to grow and take things to the next level. And so that's what I'm trying to do to transition and still hold that core value of flexibility. I mean, I don't really want to be working after my kids go to bed. I'm exhausted. Yeah. but I was having to just to keep up with the volume of work.
Absolutely.
So yeah. And it's funny. I had a call with a favorite client yesterday and she was like, I've been getting your emails because I've been kind of making these announcements to my email list about how things are changing. And she's like, I just wanted to make sure you're not going to stop working with people like me. And I said, no, that's not it. I just, aww. You know,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of growing with some of my clients and that's awesome. That's definitely what I want to keep doing. But just, you know, upping the level of engagement and kind of turning down the volume a little bit.
Absolutely. And I think I'm in a similar place with my business where I was always taking on like just a logo project or not like the best clients, but I guess the clients were getting the most benefit when I was actually working with them from that foundational element and then building everything out from there. And so now I've kind of changed some of my packages around in the same way. And I am also working less, but I'm also making more impact while I work, which makes me so happy. So I definitely think it's a transition as you start growing your business, because I do think you need some of those like smaller-ish projects or small, you know, like just less time.
Oh, for sure.
To really build your base and understand what your target audience wants. And then maybe a year or two down the line, then you kind of have that backbone and that experience. And then you're able to really dive in and offer some packages that can make some big impact. I think that's a cool journey that a lot of businesses can go on as they
grow. Yeah. And I don't regret, you know, I wouldn't say, oh, I wish I hadn't worked with all those clients. I have learned so much from them and they've helped me, you know, get a really great understanding of this industry. And so it's been time well spent, but I think it is a pretty natural evolution as you're growing your business.
I would never trade any of those clients. They like totally help form who I am today. And I'm so grateful for that. Yeah, it's just, you learn that as you grow and kind of adjust. And it's cool that like you have these values and you were like, oh, I want flexibility. But then when you kind of got your schedule so packed with so many like smaller to-dos, then it was like, oh gosh, here my flexibility is gone now.
Right,
like
what did I do? Laptop.
Right. So I love hearing that story because I think it can apply to so many different businesses.
Yeah.
So the main portion of the show, I would love for you to share. You wrote to me and said that you could share about maybe some of the small things that we might be doing as business owners that we don't know that we're doing. And they are little things that we can do now, but they will have a big impact later in our law lives.
Yes. So I've got three to share with you today, and I'll give you a preview. We're going to talk about contracts. We're going to talk about naming your business or your products and selling digital products or e-courses.
Ooh, perfect. Love it.
So the first one is contracts. And the big thing here is just make sure you're using them. Even in situations where you don't think you necessarily need one, working with a new client working with a vendor, collaborating on a project. I would much rather that someone, even if you're writing it yourself, you do not need to work with a lawyer. You can just, you know, draw up something really quickly that has basically what you're doing, what you're going to be paid, whether you give refunds or how you can cancel if things don't work out, and who owns any intellectual property that's created. So like when you're working with a client, Kelsey, it should just be really clear who owns what, so that God forbid, if something breaks down, the client turns out to be terrible, or you have something happen in your life that you can't finish it, or you decide it's not for you, you can, everybody can part ways, and you have talked about things on the front end when everybody's friendly, and it's really easy to see where to go when that happens.
Do you have any suggestions? Like I always, like in the past and now, I always give my clients full rights and full copyrights to their work. Do you think that's good or bad, or can you maybe go over some of the pros and cons of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing is not to give away any rights before you're fully paid.
Yeah.
So I will sometimes see contracts that have a term called work for hire, which I won't get into, but It just, it basically means under US copyright law that the person who's hired you owns all the rights from the second it's created.
Okay.
So that means even if they never pay you, if you send them a file, they own it. They can do whatever they want from. They can do whatever they want with it. So I like to try and hold something back so that you have some leverage in the event that you're not paid. So it's really up to you how you want to structure your business. If you're doing things that are really just for one client, I think it's totally appropriate that they'll own it after they pay you.
Yes.
If you're doing things that maybe you might want to use in other projects. Like let's say you're creating a video and you shoot like 8 hours of footage, including a lot of B-roll around your town that you may be using just pieces for the client, but you want to be able to use that B-roll in other projects, then that might be a little different.
That's really good to know.
Yeah, it just really depends on how you structure your business and how you want things to work. But what I don't want to see is you get to the end of the project and the client thinks X and you think Y.
Yeah,
you want to definitely talk about that on the front end.
Awesome.
And make sure, you know, if you do want to retain the rights, or the client wants to own the rights and you were thinking something different, maybe there's some money that needs to change hands to make everybody feel good about that. And you can talk about that on the front end.
Yeah. I specifically, a couple years ago, my aunt was working with a designer who, she owned all of my aunt's work. And in order for her to like get it, she had to pay a fee, and she also had a yearly fee that she was paying just to use her logo, which I hadn't heard of until then, but I mean that's just a whole nother businessy model way to go as far as design goes. But I was like, I never even like heard of that. I just give my clients their logos because they're their logos.
Right. And so maybe if you had a client who's really price sensitive, maybe that would make sense for them. I think it can be tricky down the line though to really make them stop using their own logo.
Right. Yeah.
If you don't pay that annual fee.
That didn't feel good in my heart. So I was like, I'm just not going to do this. That's where I always go off of like intuition and feeling.
Oh, totally.
That's why I need people like you.
I think that's what every contract should feel good to both sides. Like you shouldn't feel icky. And that's what I get a lot of pushback from people who are like, oh, we're friends. I don't want to use a contract. No, if you're friends, you definitely need a contract.
Yes. I love
stay
that.
Friends.
Absolutely. Yeah. I always do contracts no matter what.
Even if it's a trade or something like that.
Totally.
So yeah, I see people being afraid of contracts, and I just want to encourage everyone. Contracts are freeing. They let you stop worrying about what if something goes wrong, because you've already talked about what will happen if something goes wrong.
Love it. All right. Keep going.
So the second thing is the name for your business or your product. Mm-hmm. What I see a lot of people not doing is checking to make sure that no one else is already using the name, which can be trademark infringement. So a lot of people will check like domain availability if they can get the URL that they want, but they don't like do a Google search or do a US Patent and Trademark Office search to see if anyone's actually registered the trademark.
So if I've registered my LLC under my name, am I good?
No.
Oh, okay.
So here's how trademark law works. And I should say like this standard disclaimer, nothing I'm saying today is legal advice.
Yes.
But as just information in under US trademark law, we have a common law system. So the moment that someone starts using a name with their business, selling a certain product or service, they own common law rights to that name. So like Kelsey, you own common law rights to Pinegate Road.
Yes.
Whether you register it or not.
Okay.
And those are state law rights. So that's just going to extend to the area where you're actually using the name.
What if it's all of the internet?
Yeah. So, I mean, you have common law rights as in countries that have common law rights. Not every country works this way.
Ooh, okay.
So you have common law rights wherever you're using it. It's tricky to enforce those because they are state law rights. You would have to go to the state where the person, if somebody else starts a Pine Gate Road company, you'd have to go to their state. But, you know, there could be someone else out there if you didn't do a search who was already using Pine Gate Road for a similar service. I don't know if there, mm-hmm. there's or not. If you have, you may.
No, I mean, I've Googled. I haven't actually done the okay. trademark thing, but I did Google before I started. Nothing else comes up as Pine Gate Road. So
yeah, so I usually recommend that you do and then Google. I did,
yeah.
yeah, you do a Google and then you check with your state because like you may want to form an LLC or a corporation in the same name. You should definitely check with your Secretary of State or whatever the business entity department is for your state. And then I do suggest that you do a trademark search because there could be someone out there who's not going to show up on a Google search, but who does have a registered trademark.
Yeah,
you would be surprised.
So I have found that there's Pine Gate people. There's like a church called Pine Gate somewhere.
And so that's important that's to it. Think about. So trademark rights only extend to the products and services that you're actually using the trademark with. So something like a church is not going to be competing with your graphing a web design company.
Okay.
So it's important to think about what are you doing? And if somebody else does pop up, what are they doing? And is it close enough that you think it could cause a problem? Because the reason we have trademark law is to protect customers from being confused about two businesses that have a similar name. So like if there's Coca-Cola and Coca-Cola, you know, that could be very confusing if nobody mm-hmm. knows which drink is which. So always kind of keep that in mind as you're thinking like, is my name too close to that name? And that will help you kind of evaluate.
Awesome. I love that.
Same thing for product names. You just want to make sure you do a good search before you pour a bunch of time and money and energy into building a brand and trying to protect it. You want to make sure that you actually have something that is protectable and that you're not infringing anybody else's rights.
So for product names, what do you mean by that?
So like a course name or something that's not necessarily a company name, but like, you know, more of a product, more of something you're selling.
Right. So I have my like signature course and it's called Build a Booming Brand.
Right. So yeah, that would be what I would consider a product name.
Oh, so I probably need to get that checked out.
It's a good idea. Yeah. Just to do a little snooping around.
All right.
See if anybody else, are you making a note?
Yeah. I'm like, okay. I think there are other like Build a Booming. Well, what about this podcast?
So yeah, it's kind of a product. I would check it out if I were you.
Okay.
If you haven't already.
I always like, sometimes it's like ignorance is bliss.
Right. Right.
But here's the thing. It's probably the worst mentality.
Yeah. Well, it's very normal. It's very normal. But I mean, I think these are things you don't have to hire a lawyer to do. Like you can do these searches. It will probably take you 10 minutes.
Perfect.
It's not a huge investment of time or money.
So what would you find if, like, what would I be looking for? Say Build a Booming Brand is somebody else's or somebody else is using it. What would I see? And like, how would I know that that is not good? Like say you, like Pine Gate was the church,
right?
And Build a Booming Brand. How would I know if I'm infringing on their like trademark or copyright or.
Yeah. So we're talking about, this is all trademarks. Trademarks all have to do with like brand recognition. Copyrights protect creative works. So they're similar, but a little bit different. So when you're trying to figure out if you might be infringing someone else's trademark rights, you want to look at what kinds of products and services are they offering and compare those to yours. So they don't have to be exactly the same. They can just be similar and you could maybe be infringing their rights. So take, for example, like a shampoo brand. It's very common for a shampoo brand to also offer body wash or hairspray or maybe even makeup. So, you know, even those aren't the exact same kinds of things because consumers would expect a shampoo brand to also offer related products. You could also be infringing if your product is related, even if it's not exactly the same.
Oh, okay.
So yeah,
the example I was going to use just personally going into this Build a Booming Brand thing is that mine is a course, but what if somebody had a Build a Booming Brand as their design business?
Yeah, it could be because you're kind of teaching the
same concept,
the same thing, and they're providing it as a service. Yeah,
so it has to be very clearly different in order for it to not be infringing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
And this is an area where there's no black and white rules. It's all a judgment call. So it's something, if you do find something that's too close, you just have to sit down and research maybe how big is the other company. If it's somebody who looks like they're doing it as a hobby, maybe it's not something you worry about too much. But, mm-hmm. you know, what you don't want is for the other brand to kind of wait in the background until you become very big and successful. And then they kind of pop up out of the shadows and come right. after you.
So take care of yourself while it's exactly. starting out.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do have some clients that I have had to have tough conversations with about choosing a new brand because they're just too close to another established brand.
Well, I even know one of the biggest, like the ones that comes up to my mind is, do you know Laura Casey?
Yeah.
She started Southern Weddings. Like she had to rename that whole thing like way back in the day because she got shut down and whatever it was named before that. I never followed her. She's not even allowed to say it.
Right.
Whatever it was, they shut down her magazine and she had to like start over from scratch. So
yeah. See, that's what you don't want to have happen. And you can avoid that if you do a little research on the front end.
Yes. All right.
So then the third thing that I would just suggest that people can take care of is when you are selling a course or a digital product, like downloadable templates or any kind of things that are, you know, you're not selling a physical product, but these are kind of digital things, is to have a really solid terms of use that goes with that you ask people to agree to as part of your checkout.
Okay.
So that's where
where do you put that? In the checkout?
Yeah, most of the e-commerce platforms will have a way that you can load those up so that you can have like a checkbox that says, I agree. And you should be, you know, you should have a link right there that they can read them. Or you can maybe, in some of them, you can include the whole text right there so people can scroll through it. But what that allows you to do is to tell people that you own the rights in the content and what they can and can't do with it. So you basically kind of set up the rules of the road for your product. Can they share it with other people? Can they only use it for their own business? Can they use it as long as they credit you? All of those kinds of things. And then you also want to put a really clear refund policy in there. Mm. And any kind of, like, if you have an online community that's part of the package, any kind of rules that you have for that. But what I have seen a lot lately, especially, is people who have payment plans for their digital course or their community or products.
Mm-hmm.
And people have access to everything from day one. People pay the first payment and then they cancel their card and they never pay again. I see it a lot. Yeah.
Wow.
Or you'll have people who do chargebacks with their credit card or they'll do a challenge with PayPal. So there's just, it can be very tricky and it can be a big financial hit if you're not protected in that way. So if you have a solid terms of use, you should be able to avoid some of that. You can't
what
avoid
would you
everybody.
Kind of put for some of those things? Not exactly, but in general terms.
Yeah. Yeah. You just want to make really clear, do you offer refunds or not? If you don't offer refunds, you should say that and, you know, have people basically say, yes, I agree that because I'm getting access to everything from day one, you don't give refunds. With those payment plans, you can also have people agree like, yes, I will make all the payments, even if I cancel, you know, I'm agreeing, I'm going to pay this whole amount.
Okay.
And then if they do try and challenge it, you know, you can say, we had this contract that they agreed to, it's here in black and white. And it just, it's not going to solve all problems. People sometimes go off the rails, but you'll be in a much better position to handle those things if you have some of those protections in place.
Awesome. That is very good to hear.
Yeah.
I know that selling my course, I do it through Teachable. So I have some of those built in just from Teachable, but I am launching some web templates. That's actually like my whole week right now. And I have been thinking about that. How do I put that terms of the terms, like I'm giving them some of my typefaces even in these.
Right.
So I'm like, what rights do you have to use the typeface that I'm providing in this web template and all of that? So I am in the middle of figuring that kind of stuff out.
Yeah. I have downloadable contract templates that I have on my website. And so those get emailed to the person after they buy them. And I actually have a terms, like they have to agree to the terms when they buy it, but I also send them a copy with the template. So I know the web template's a little different, but lots of ways to make sure that they are seeing what they're agreeing to and that they, you know, if you had to, God forbid, pull someone into court, that you could show the judge. You know, that's what I always try and think. If you had to go in front of a judge, how could you show that they agreed? You want something really clear.
Right. So you have some of these things on your website for people to purchase?
Yeah, I have contract templates that are, they're great for a newer business owner who maybe isn't ready to invest in working with a lawyer one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
But once a contract that's written by a lawyer who understands creative businesses and wants just some basic protection. So they're fill in the blank. You can customize them. They come in Word and they're delivered right away. So you have them right when you need them.
That and therefore, so
I have different ones for designers and coaches and wedding planners and all kinds of different scenarios. Yeah.
I actually just got asked from a friend who was like, I don't have a contract and I need to start doing this. And she's newer in her stuff. And I sent her mine. But that's so good to know that you have that. I'm going to email that to her today.
Oh, good. Good. It's kind of hidden on my website. It's something that kind of promote through partnerships and things like this. So you go on my website, it's just awbfirm.com/contract-templates.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
That's where they
all are. Yeah. Awesome. So I guess you've done your three things that you think we should work on as business owners before we get in too deep. Is there any other general advice you would like to let my audience know about?
Yeah. I mean, my overriding emphasis these days is just empowering people to understand that legal doesn't have to be scary or overwhelming. It should be a line item in your budget. It doesn't have to be a big line item if you're just starting out, but it really is part of running a real business to get your legal ducks in a row. It's just working, paying your taxes or having insurance. These are not things that are sexy or exciting, but they are the things that allow you to do all the other things you want to do.
Right. And how do you know when you're ready to maybe take the leap into hiring somebody like you?
It just depends on how things are going with your business. So if you have a lot of collaborations or a lot of product lines, and you're getting more questions and people are asking you to sign their contracts, I think most people it's a gut check. I mean, there's no exact right time.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say I work with a lot of businesses in transition. If it's a product business, maybe they've been picked up by a big retailer and so they feel like they need to get everything in order, or maybe they're partnering up for the first time and they, are actually forming an entity with someone and so they want to make sure everything is really all set up correctly.
Yes.
So I think that's a common time. And then I think once people's revenues hit, even six figures or on the way to six figures, you start just naturally having more issues pop up.
Right.
So that is pretty common.
Okay. Good to know. So do you have anything else you would like to share with people before I get into my fun question?
I don't think so. I'm excited for your fun questions.
Okay. I just want you to go into anything that you are loving or liking right now.
Yeah. So it is summer. I don't know when this is going to air, but it's summer when we're recording, and my kids just started swim team. And that is like one of my favorite memories from growing up.
Yay.
And so we had our first practice last night and they were so cute and enthusiastic and just on their little kickboards. And so that is making me really happy. And I was just thinking, when you asked me that question before we hit record, it's something that when I was a lawyer in my last job, I always had wanted to be able to do, but felt like I couldn't because I was working so much. And so it just the ability to do something like that with them. It's one of the best parts of having this kind of job with that flexibility that I appreciate so much.
Yes, absolutely. I'm wondering, how has everything been going as far as running your business, being a mom? I know this is kind of a loaded question, but how has
it's been all super easy,
right? Is it or no?
No.
How have you been making sure to make time for that? Because I know, I mean, I don't have kids, but a family is something that is close on the horizon for us, hopefully. And I spend so much time still just working on my business. And I mean, it just naturally carves out, I'm sure. But you still, do you ever feel the guilt of I'm taking this away from my business, or I'm not with my kids, or how is that all going for you?
Yes, yes, and yes. Okay. It's been an evolution. I was our primary breadwinner before we had kids because my husband was starting his own business. And so when I went back to work after having the twins, it was I didn't really have any guilt because somebody's got to pay the mortgage.
Right. Yeah.
So we put them in full-time daycare, which I'm a huge advocate of and has been wonderful for our family. So we have a lot of help. We have a lot of support. I mean, they're not running around in the background as we're recording this. Like, they're at school. So that has been huge in being able to have, I mean, I'm in a job where I really need quiet and focus, and I'm on the phone a lot. I can't have kids in the background. I can't really juggle. So carving out those hours of the week where I know I can really work has been hugely helpful. And I know they're well taken care of, so I don't have a lot of guilt there. I would say lately, I really am so excited about the things that are going on in my business that I want to be spending more time on the business. And so yeah. I do feel a little guilt when I'm that I'm not spending as much time as I would like on the business. Because like I said, like after I get them to bed, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. You know, you work all day. And then they come home at 5:30, and like I pretty much shut off the computer when they get home, because
that's awesome.
That's my time with them. And that is hard some days. Like there's definitely days where I would really like to keep working. Because I enjoy it, and it's not something that feels like a burden. It's something I'm really having a lot of fun with. So that has been a challenge lately. Although, as you mentioned before we started recording, my whole family was sick like all of February and March. Right. It went through, like, we had everything, and it went through all five of us just over and over and over. So that was rough. Like I didn't have a full week of, you know, me being healthy and all the kids being healthy for almost 2 months.
Wow.
So that was crazy. But you kind of, you know, you build things into your business, hopefully to manage some of that. You know, I definitely was not taking on as many projects during that time because I really value, you know, a high level of customer service.
Yeah.
So it just, you know, you make room for things. You know, I really value self-care. And so I still make sure I get in my workouts, but I probably don't go out with my girlfriends as much. Like you just kind of, you know, I don't watch as much TV. Gotcha. You prioritize the things that are important to you.
Yes. And I'm definitely learning all of that right now. As I like kind of start my settled married life.
Yeah. I would like 36 hours in the day. Like if I could have that, then I could get everything done.
Right.
But that
I just
exist.
Signed up. I had Amy Koretsky on the show and I just signed up for her. She is, I mean, by the time this airs, it'll be over, but she was doing like a group self-care program. And I'm so pumped to go through that. It starts in a couple weeks and I'll be making my, like my personal self-care plan. And I'm
that's awesome. Yeah.
Like,
I love Amy.
Yeah.
We met in New Orleans at the first Being Boss meetup.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Are you going to the Being Boss this year?
I'm not. As part of my self-care, I'm having to say no to some things.
Yes. Right.
Because travel is really hard on our family right now.
Yeah.
So my baby is still, she's just turned 13 months. So
yeah.
I keep trying to tell myself that life is long and I will have time to do all these things when my kids are a little bit bigger. But
I'm proud of you for doing that because I sometimes, that's the only thing I'm doing this year,
yeah,
as far as like business, like travel goes. So,
husband who is pretty forceful about telling me when I overcommit myself. So, he actually, after our March meetup, he was like, "You're on a travel ban, no more travel." And I was like, "That is probably what I need. Like, I need someone else to tell me."
Yep. Yeah. I get really over it. Like, just
it's awesome. Like, I love doing it, but then it takes me weeks to catch up. And
I don't think I've had a month where I'm like, okay, here's my normal month. Like every month is included like two travel things. And while that's fun, it really gets me off kilter. And I don't know. We're in the season of our lives where everybody's getting married and I've moved everywhere. So the weddings aren't just in Cleveland. They're all over the country. So
and they're fun and you don't want to miss them.
They're so fun. Exactly.
I get it.
And you want to be there, but I'm, you know, and I haven't said no to anyone, but it's just, there's a lot of traveling. And then between the business, it's pretty insane. So just managing that is hard.
I just had my 20th high school reunion and it was on the calendar. And like, we were traveling every other weekend that month with family stuff and other stuff. And I just looked at it and I was like, I just can't go. Like it was in Memphis, which is across the state from where I live. And it was just too much. And I hated to miss it. But then when it rolled around, I was like, I would be miserable if I were trying to do that this weekend.
Right. Exactly.
So it is hard, but it is worth it.
But I do think, like, again, going to the foundation of what I love, like finding your core values and making sure that, like, you're like, oh, does this travel fit in with that or not? And like, flexibility sometimes is having the flexibility to not go to some of these things, which is
right. If I do this, it means I'm going to be a crazy person for the next 2 weeks.
It means, you're not going to be flexible in your life if you go do these things. So, like, is that really fitting in with your core values? So,
absolutely.
Hard saying no, though. Everything's so fun.
I have serious FOMO always.
How do you work through it?
I mean, I just have to, like you said, get back to the core value. Like, I knew I was going to miss out on some fun at the reunion, but I knew my higher value was being rested and being able to work in my business and take care of my kids. And, you know, that those are more important than the fun that I was going to miss out on.
Yes.
And I have I do a lot of, like, one of my other trips was a girls' trip. So it's not like I'm not having any fun.
Yeah, I just had to say no to a girls trip because Todd was like, okay, like you're going this weekend and that, and like when is like our vacation like right. together? And I'm like, like,
I know you want to do all the things.
I know. All right. Well, is there anything else that you would like to cover as far as like telling people about what you do and maybe where they could find you or your services, anything like that?
Yeah. So I mentioned my podcast, and that's the thing I would love for people to check out if you're wanting to know more about getting your business legal and reaching your big goals. And that is the Legal Roadmap Podcast. So you can find it in iTunes, or if you go to my website, awbfirm.com, you can click on podcast, and I've got show notes and a downloadable resource for every episode. So it's hugely,
ooh, perfect.
I basically, like, I am too lazy to make a course. So I did a podcast instead, but I wanted the content to be as good as a course. So yes. It's really, really good.
And I love that you structured it. Like, sometimes I'm like, why did I do this podcast where I have to like devote myself for the rest of my life every week? But you, which I love it. It's like kind of my co-working or like you're my co-worker for the week.
Perfect.
But you did it in such a cool way. Like podcasting doesn't have to be something that you do every week. It can be something that you do 12 episodes and have it be this thing. And then you like put that out and like, then you stop and take a break. And I love the way that you structured that.
Yeah. I did season one and now I'm working on season two, which Perfect. I should be recording pretty soon. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was awesome getting to know these tips. I have a little bit of a to-do list now for sure.
Yes. We got some homework.
Yes. Thank you
All
so
right,
much.
All right. Thanks, Kelsey.
Thank you to our sponsor, Audible.com, for supporting the show. Please head to audibletrial.com/Pinegate Road to get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute and head to iTunes to rate and review the show. It makes a big difference in growing the show, and I'll be here giving you a virtual high five behind the scenes. You can follow along with the studio for branding tips, advice, and general inspiration on Instagram, username Pinegate Road, or by heading to pinegateroad.com for everything else happening in the studio. Sending lots of love and wishing you an awesome week. You've got this.